The National Broadcasting Company presents Eyes Aloft.
Army flash. One. Single. Low. Scene. 7 John 3. Overhead. Northeast.
Eyes aloft, watching the sky, watching the plane find the range up above. Eyes aloft.
Eyes aloft. The 4th Fighter Command of the United States Army Air Forces, in cooperation with West Coast radio stations, dedicates this official weekly radio program to the 150,000 volunteer civilian filter center workers and ground observers whose round-the-clock vigilance keeps watchful guard of the Pacific coast against attack by enemy planes.
Eyes aloft, night and day, will help protect the USA.
This is Ken Carpenter. Tonight, the 23rd gala performance of Eyes Aloft. Filter Center News, edited and presented by one of the nation's most famous news broadcasters, Sam Hayes. The first winner of our new contest, Why Do I Come Here? The presentation of the weekly Eyes Aloft Gold Trophy Award. Music by the Gordon Jenkins Orchestra and the famous King's Men. And during the broadcast, we will switch controls to Seattle, where we'll hear from a young sergeant whose life was saved by the members of the Bellingham Filter Center. And here to get the program underway, your popular Eyes Aloft narrator, Jane Whitman.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Last week, we announced our new contest, Why Do I Come Here? The response has been tremendous. From all over the Pacific coast, volunteers have sent 100-word statements explaining why they continue to serve the Army and the nation. From the many, many contributions, our board of judges has selected this week's winner. Statements are judged on the basis of originality and sincerity. Decision of the judges is final. Duplicate prizes will be awarded in the case of tie. The weekly prize, a Treasury Department War Savings Stamp Book with $5 worth of war stamps, goes to the winner. Also, his observation post or filter center receives a handsome desk clock as a prize. Gordon Jenkins composes an original orchestral score to background the presentation of each winning statement. And now we are ready to present the first winner in our new contest, Why Do I Come Here? Why Do I Come Here?
This week's winner, Mr. R.A. Worden, Chief Observer, Alameda Post, Alameda, California. And this is Mr. Worden's winning entry.
Why do I come here? Because I was born, have lived, and hope to die a free man. Because having experienced war, I know its horrors. But even they are better than to live a slave. Because I am indebted to this nation which guarantees that I'll always remain a free man. Because I owe a debt to my neighbors to help support and not let down their boys who are fighting and dying for me. Because when it is over and peace again comes, I will still have my conscience to live with for the remainder of my days. That's why I come here.
That is this week's Why Do I Come Here winning entry. Congratulations, Mr. R.A. Worden of Alameda, California. Your prize of a Treasury Department war stamp savings book with $5 worth of war stamps has been mailed to you. Also, you have won for your Alameda observation post a handsome desk clock. This, too, is on its way. Because of the many excellent entries, we wish to give honorable mention to the following three contributors.
Books with $1 worth of war-saving stamps have been sent as honorable mention prizes to the following. Ella M. Petrie, 3027 West Alderwood, Bellingham, Washington. Vera L. Price, Capoose, Oregon. And Marie Lee Kelly, 905 Florida Avenue, Richmond, California.
Congratulations all. Now, those civilian volunteers who wish to contribute a 100-word statement to next week's Why Do I Come Here contest should send their entry to Eyes Aloft, Hollywood, California. Merely state why you continue to faithfully serve the Aircraft Warning Service. We repeat, send your entry at once to Eyes Aloft, Hollywood, California. Maybe you will be one of the many who will win. Enthusiastic comments have poured in this past week about our new program feature, Filter Center News. We are indeed pleased and proud to have the noted news editor and commentator, Sam Hayes, join the Eyes Aloft program staff. Here he is now, ready to go to press with his second edition of Filter Center News, presenting Sam Hayes.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sam Hayes bringing you personal news items about Pacific Coast Filter Center workers from border to border. Bellingham, Washington. Supervisor Norma Van Wickle has taken a leave to join her husband, Major Van Wickle, at Santa Ana. Within 2 months, she will return to her second love, the Filter Center. Fresno, California. Mrs. O.A. Warner and Mrs. Vera Weymouth and their committee are doing an excellent job of providing food for the Filter Center snack bar. Eugene, Oregon. The stork hovers over the teller's balcony at the Eugene Filter Center. Mrs. Colleen Garrison of Section 1 expects the visit about March 1st. Olympia, Washington. Shift 15 is now known as the Intellectual Group. For 2 months, they've held study groups on current battle areas. Mrs. Helen Bowen led discussion on the Solomon Islands. Jocelyn Doyou reported on Dakar. Mrs. Dorothy Marshall on Arabia. San Francisco Information Center. The engagement of Wilmer Richardson to Lieutenant Robert Forward, U.S. Army Air Forces, just recently has been announced. Miss Richardson has served over 2,000 hours in the personnel office. Seattle, Washington. Newly appointed to positions as administrative supervisors are 12 volunteers who will act as coordinators. They are Geraldine Finnegan, Grace Farmer, Margaret Swanson, Myrtle Schoenfeld, Josephine Barncutt, Annalie Overby, Margaret Redpath, Wilma Warner, Helene Bodine, Mildred Haven, Ida Beek, and Ethel Clark. Here's wishing them good luck in their new work. Redding, California. Mrs. Myrtle Fraser is the first lady to reach the 1,000 hours of service goal in the Redding Filter Center. Port Angeles, Washington. Don't tell a soul, but Helen All of Shift 8 just got engaged. San Diego, California. Mrs. Esther Gage is now supervisor of ship service at the Naval Hospital. Mrs. Gage was supervisor of teams 2A and 2C and will continue her work at the Filter Center in her spare time. Sacramento, California. Mrs. Roberta Shuey, who for the past 6 months has been following her lieutenant husband from place to place, is now back in Sacramento and has been reassigned to duty at the Filter Center. North Coast Filter Center. Team 1 held a surprise birthday party for Supervisor Helen Kuvalas with a wonderful cake prepared by Mayvern Dorman. Los Angeles. Catherine Rafter is ill in the Good Samaritan Hospital. In the last few days, she has needed several blood transfusions. Private Southwick from the medical office and Adelaide Sunday, Team 4, have been donors. Roseburg, Oregon. Two of Roseburg's loveliest, Faith and Virginia Young, sisters, work the evening shift. Faith is a licensed operator at the Roseburg radio station, KRNR. And so, we close tonight's Filter Center News with this week's nomination to the Honor Roll of Service. This week, we name Mrs. Jean Morrison, canteen supervisor of the Seattle Information Center, who has served the aircraft warning service for 1,671 hours. This is your Eyes Aloft news reporter, Sam Hayes, bidding you one and all a very good evening.
No male singing group has had a longer or more impressive popularity record than the King's Men. Hard-working and seemingly ever on the go, you hear the King's Men each Tuesday evening on the Fibber, McGee, and Molly program. If you're a man in the armed forces, like as not, the King's Men have just visited your camp or base and put on a show for you. Well, today we learned that they had a moment's breathing spell, so we asked them if they'd appear on Eyes Aloft, and their answer was...
What? Appear for the civilian volunteers of the Aircraft Warning Service and the 4th Fighter Command of the United States Army Air Forces?
Sure!
And here they are, the King's Men, singing, Please Won't You Leave My Girl Alone.
In the Army or the Navy, from Alaska to Suez, in the Marines or in the Air Corps, every man has a message for the fellas at home. Here is what he says. Please won't you leave my girl alone. Please won't you leave my girl alone. I'm far away in the Army, and she is all I've got. I'm far away in the Army, and though she cares a lot, I'm far away in the Army, and you're Johnny on the spot. Please won't you leave my girl alone. Every time I forward march, I march another mile away. So, buddy, if you're a buddy of mine, all that I can say is, please, won't you leave my girl alone? Don't even call her on the phone. She wrote she missed my kisses on lonely summer nights. She might be giving her kisses to hungry parasites. Now, though she isn't a missus and you're still within your rights, please, won't you leave my girl alone?
Mary Lou, the guy next door to you, I'm writing him a big long letter. I know him, and he knows you, but I don't want him to know you any better.
Now all you 3 A's and 4 F's, be careful what you do. If you'll stay away from my girl at home, then I'll agree that when I see that Mademoiselle from Armentières, I'll bring her back to you. A Mademoiselle from Armentières, parlez-vous. Hinky-dinky, parlez-vous. Every time a forward march, I march another mile away. So, buddy, if you're a buddy of mine, all that I can say is, please, won't you leave my girl alone? Hasn't got a heart of stone. I'm far away in Australia, and she's my guiding star. While I'm away in Australia, don't carry things too far. Remember, I'm in Australia thanks to her and FDR. Please, 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 won't you leave my girl alone?
Please note my very gentle tone.
She's mighty full of devotion,
'cause I'm the only one.
Says who?
Now don't be getting the notion that something can be done.
Says you.
Remember when I come marching home, I'm coming with my gun. Now will you leave my girl
at this moment? We want to switch controls to the Pacific Northwest, where Lieutenant Joseph Carraher, ground observer officer of the Seattle, Washington region, will talk with Sergeant Robert Luckett, whose life was saved by members of the Bellingham Filter Center. Are you there, Lieutenant Joe Carraher?
We have it here in Seattle now, Gain Whitman. Sitting here with me is a husky-looking young chap whom you'd never guess ever had a sick day in his life. You feel pretty sharp today, Sergeant Luckett?
I'm in there punching, Lieutenant.
You certainly don't look like the boy I took to that Bellingham hospital just about a year ago tonight.
I was really in the horizontal mood at that moment.
Boy, your face was swollen up the size of a barrage balloon.
Yes, and did I have a temperature that night, Lieutenant?
We could have fried an egg on your forehead, Sergeant. You were plenty sick.
And it all started with nothing more than an old toothache.
Yes, but I'll never forget how serious those doctors got after taking one good look at you. Frankly, Sergeant Luckett, you were lucky to come through.
You telling me? I've been thinking of changing my name from Bob Luckett to Lucky Luckett. But it wasn't all just luck, you know, Lieutenant.
How do you mean that?
Well, I might not have won that 10-round decision with the Grim Reaper if it hadn't been for 200 mothers pulling for me.
200 mothers?
You see, my own mother lives in Austin, Texas.
Your hometown?
Yes, sir. She was all the way down there in Texas, and I was all the way up in Bellingham, Washington.
And really sick.
Yes, sir, but I had those 200 wonderful mothers praying for me and looking after my every need. They were the ladies of the Bellingham Filter Center.
A grand bunch, and I ought to know because I was stationed there for many months before coming to Seattle.
Yes, you were there at the time, Lieutenant Carraher. I guess those ladies will never know how grateful I was of the good things they did to help me pull through.
I guess you had a chance to find out, Sergeant, that all the hospitable people in the world don't live in the South.
Well, you know, Lieutenant, I found out later that every last woman in the Bellingham Filter Center was just as concerned about me as if I had been her own son.
And one of the most thoughtful things they did, Sergeant, was to keep your own mother down in Texas constantly informed about your condition when you were so critically ill.
I know. I've tried to let them all know in this past year that this old boy from Austin, Texas, thinks those women are the finest ladies who ever lived.
Those are pretty much my sentiments, too, Sergeant Luckett.
Doesn't it make you feel pretty good, sir, to know that the majority of the women at the Bellingham Filter Center today are the same ones who started with you in September of 1941 when you were the Bellingham Field Center officer?
It sure does. They've been a loyal, conscientious group. They've stuck right by their guns over a long, hard pull. And they're still in there pitching, for all they're worth.
Well, sir, very seriously, I know only too well, if it hadn't been for those ladies, I might not be here to tell my story tonight.
And that's what we want to hear right now, Sergeant Luckett. The story of a small toothache that grew to such serious proportions that you had a desperate fight for life. Let's shoot the program back to Hollywood, where the Eyes Aloft players will portray the dramatic moment of your life as well as the life of the Bellingham Filter Center. Music, Gordon Jenkins. Take it away, Gain Whitman.
You have just heard from Sergeant Robert Luckett, who credits his life to the women of the Bellingham Filter Center. He was interviewed by Lieutenant Joseph Carrer. Hear now this week's prize-winning new and great American story. This is the simple story of a sergeant's aching tooth and how the consequences bound a group of volunteers even more closely together in common devotion to their organization. Since September 1941, when the Bellingham, Washington Filter Center was first organized, its members have demonstrated a glorious spirit of all-out cooperation. But just a year ago, on January 21st, 1942, an incident befell one of the members of that installation that jarred every person associated. One of the enlisted men, popular, pleasant, good-natured Sergeant Bob Luckett, who worked in the filter room, was taken ill. At first, it was just a toothache. Out in the hall, some of Bob's buddies were kidding him one afternoon.
Hey, what do you got in your jaw, Luckett? A chaw tobacco?
I wish that's all it was.
Bum tooth, Bob? Hurt?
Yeah, but not enough for me to go to any dentist, though.
Oh, hello, boys.
Just coming off a ship, Mrs. McGlynn?
Oh, no, just taking my 10-minute rest period. How about some coats, boys?
Oh, you're always treating, Mrs. McGlynn.
Yeah, I think it's about time we treated you. Yeah, I got some nickels.
Sergeant Luckett.
Yes, sir?
What's the matter with your face?
Nothing, ma'am.
Bob's got a toothache.
Well, his face is all swollen on that one side. Here, Sergeant, let me see.
Well, I never had a toothache before.
Maybe he's catching mud.
There's nothing to joke about, boys. You have to go and see a dentist, Sergeant. Your tooth might be abscessed. I want you to come right with me and report this to Lieutenant Carraher. Come on.
Sergeant Luckett's commanding officer told him to report to the dentist that same afternoon. The dentist found the boy's tooth badly abscessed. Extraction was necessary.
There we are, Sergeant.
What do you mean, there we are?
The offending tooth. I have it out, see?
You pulled it out already?
This is it.
How do you like that? I didn't even feel it. Can I go now?
Well, we'll have to pack the area, and then you can check back with me tomorrow, the next day.
It was only a bad tooth that had to be pulled. That happens to people every day. Sergeant Luckett reported back to duty that evening. But 4 days later, a sharp pain suddenly started in the area of the missing tooth. Finally, unable to bear the pain, he reported to Lieutenant Carrier that evening of the fourth day.
I sure hate to come complaining to you, sir, but my jaw sure hurts.
You take those pills, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Don't they kill the pain?
No, sir.
You better go to your quarters and get to bed.
I should be on duty in the filter room, sir.
I'll have your post covered, Luckett. You get to bed.
Yes, sir. I think it'll be all right in a little while.
Yeah, we'll see. Get along now, and I'll come see you later.
Yes, sir.
The following day, the ladies of the filter center missed Sergeant Bob Luckett and asked about him. When they learned he was ill, they were greatly concerned. Mrs. Dorothy Purcell went with Lieutenant Carraher to see how the Texas boy was getting along. He lay there in his bed suffering. They took his temperature.
Lieutenant Carraher, I think this boy should be moved to my home where he can have rest and attention and proper treatment.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mrs. Purcell,
but temporary living quarters here aren't exactly the place for a sick man.
I'll be all right.
Now, you keep your mouth closed around that thermometer, Sergeant.
Yes.
Well, it's been in long enough. Let me see what it reads.
Well?
Here we are.
You feel kind of warm, Bob?
Yes, a little.
Heavens.
What is it, Miss Purcell?
103.6.
No.
Well, he's sick, Lieutenant. Very sick with a fever like that. He should be taken to a hospital at once.
Well, I don't want to go to a hospital. I'm not sick.
Never mind, Bob. Mrs. Purcell.
Yes?
I'll go call an ambulance. What hospital shall we send him to?
I suggest St. Joseph's.
All right. We'll take him there. I'm really worried now.
I don't like this turn he's taken at all. Hurry along, Lieutenant. I'll wait here with him.
Sergeant Luckett of Austin, Texas, was rushed to St. Joseph's Hospital at once, placed under physician's care. Because his resistance had been so low, the abscess tooth had infected his entire system. He was a very sick man. Coincidentally, and most unfortunately, Bob Luckett was taken to the hospital on the evening that the Bellingham Filter Center was holding its first volunteer banquet. Though the affair was well attended, his absence cast a pall over the gaiety.
I wonder how that boy is doing now, Mrs. Roberts.
I went out and called the hospital just after Lieutenant Callaher finished his speech. They said he was just the same.
I wonder where that boy's people live, Mrs. Chrissy.
Well, he's from Austin, Texas, he told me.
Well, I wonder if the Army's notified his mother.
I don't know. Do you think his condition is that critical?
Well, of course, I don't know.
Oh, I was so sorry he couldn't be here tonight for this first banquet. He's worked so hard, and he's always so cheerful to have around.
Yes, sir, he is, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
After the banquet was over that evening, several of the women volunteers went to the home of Leith Schaefer. Around 10 that night, Mrs. Betty McGlynn telephoned the hospital to try to get some definite report about the boy's condition.
What do they say?
They're connecting me with the head nurse.
Oh, is he worse?
Oh, hello. Yes. My name is Mrs. McGlynn of the Bellingham Filter Center. We're very anxious to get some report on Sergeant Luckett. Yes.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, I see. Well, give that boy every attention he needs. You see, he doesn't have any people of his own here. Yes. Thank you. Goodbye.
How is he?
Very low.
Oh, no.
Taking a decided turn for the worse.
Well, what can we do for that boy?
Oh, that's nothing.
I'll take it. Hello? Oh, Lieutenant Callaher.
Oh, the lieutenant calling.
Yes, our line was busy. Oh? Yes, I just talked to the head nurse there.
He's at the hospital.
I see. Well, I personally think we should call other doctors in on consultation. Look, Lieutenant, some of us will get in a car and come right down and talk this over with you. Yes, goodbye. Lieutenant Callaher, he's at the hospital. He went over right after the banquet.
What did he say about Bob Luckett?
He just wanted to let us know Bob is in a pretty bad way.
Oh, he isn't going to die, is he?
Oh, we mustn't even think that.
After a hurried conference at the hospital, the ladies of the Filter Center arranged for other doctors to consult on the case. Soon, Sergeant Luckett had the combined good care of Dr. McRae Smith, Dr. S.S. Howe, and Lyle Greenwood. They declared that a blood transfusion was needed at once. The call went out to the Filter Center that night, and the response was almost 100%. However, after blood types were taken, Sergeant Earl O'Brien, a Texas buddy of Luckett's, gave the first transfusion.
Well, there we are.
Is this going to help Bob?
Yeah, we hope so. Now, you just lay here and rest for a few minutes, Sergeant.
Gosh, look at him laying over there. Just like he was... Gosh.
Over at the Filter Center, there was great concern the next morning. Everyone wanted to know what they could do to help Bob. A box labeled Luckett Luxury Fund was set up on the supervisor's desk at the Filter Center.
All right, ladies, here it is. Now, drop in anything you can afford to help pay Bob Luckett's expenses.
Here's $5.
Here's four bits. I'll drop in some more payday. Here's a buck.
Here, let me put in these $2. I'll have more tomorrow.
At the Bellingham Filter Center, it was all out for Sergeant Bob Luckett. The Luckett Luxury Fund collection box was full to overflowing before the day was done. But there was no change in Bob's condition. And that day, Private Donald Smith and Private Glenn Tolley were called upon to give two more transfusions. That night, Jane Donman called Bob's mother long distance down in Austin, Texas.
Hello?
Hello, yes?
Is this Mrs. Mert Luckett?
Yes, who is this?
Well, you don't know me. My name is Jane Donman. I'm in Bellingham, Washington.
Bellingham? Nothing's happened to my son.
Mrs. Luckett, please try not to get upset. Now, I want to explain about Bob.
He hasn't been in an accident. Is he all right?
Listen, please. Bob is quite sick.
What is it?
Well, he had a tooth extracted. It was abscessed. His resistance was very low. An infection got the best of him. Now, we're taking the best of care of him.
Where is he?
Well, he's in the hospital now, but we're doing everything for him, and we'll keep you posted on his condition every day.
For 14 long days and nights, Sergeant Luckett fought for his life. No 14 days of enemy air attack could have been any harder on the Bellingham Filter Center workers than those spent waiting and praying for word of improvement of one of their favorite sons. And then, on February 2nd, that good word of cheer did come.
Bob, look, it's past the crisis.
Bob's going to be all right.
I just came from the hospital, folks. The doctors say he's on the way to recovery.
Oh, I've got to go telephone his mother the good news.
Lieutenant Carroll.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Purcell.
Look, when that boy leaves the hospital, he'll have to spend a week or so recuperating.
Well, maybe 3 weeks, the doctors told me this morning.
Well, then come to my house and do his rescue.
Oh, that's kind of you, Mrs. Purcell, but when he can be moved, Army regulations say he'll be taken to the medical base at Payne Field. He can get his strength back there.
Well, fine. Just so Bob has good care.
Oh, just as soon as I get off this morning shift, I'm going right out and send him some flowers.
I have a book I want to send over to him. Come on.
A week later, Sergeant Bob Luckett was moved to Payne Field, where he spent 3 weeks recuperating. After that, he was given a month's furlough so that he could go home to Texas and rest and soak up some good southern sunshine. But before Bob Luckett left for Texas, he made a one-day trip back to Bellingham. There was something he wanted to lose no time in saying to his many good friends at the Filter Center. One noon, about the 1st of March, all who weren't on duty gathered in the center's recreation room.
Ladies, men, what can I say when our prodigal son is standing right here beside me, but, well, what can I say except Sergeant Bob Luckett's back? The Army's giving Bob a month's furlough, but he wanted to come back here to Bellingham first to say something to you folks. Okay, Sergeant, the floor is yours.
Well, everybody was sure good to me. I guess I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for all you folks, and, well, you know what I mean. Thanks. Thanks for everything.
Oh, that was just lovely.
Sergeant Robert Luckett was soon back on duty at the Bellingham Filter Center, and there he serves today among the grand group of people who proved they were his friends. As you heard Sergeant Luckett himself say earlier on this program, I might not have won that 10-round decision bout with the Grim Reaper if I hadn't had 200 mothers pulling for me. Those are the kind of people who operate the Bellingham Filter Center.
Each week, we present the National Broadcasting Company's handsome Eyes Aloft Gold Trophy Award to some outstanding observation post or filter center. Here is Captain E.G. Morrison, Ground Observer Officer of the South Coast area, to make this week's presentation. Captain Morrison.
The expression esprit de corps, which Webster defines as common devotion of members to an organization, has been excellently put into practice by the Bellingham Filter Center workers. With them, duty did not end with the closing of a shift. They went further, showed love and faith, and the desire to help one of their kind in time of need. But that is only a single incident of faithful service in the life of the Bellingham Filter Center. The Army knows that the volunteer civilians of that installation will always carry on with efficiency, understanding, complete cooperation. To the Bellingham Filter Center, we proudly present this week's Eyes Aloft Gold Trophy Award.
Gayne Whitman saying goodnight to the 150,000 valiant aircraft warning service volunteer civilians who keep constant vigil of our home front so that America will be ever safe from enemy attack by air. Good night.
Don't forget to send in your 100-word entries to the Why Do I Come Here contest. Perhaps you can win one of the many prizes. Send your entries to Eyes Aloft, Hollywood, California. Eyes Aloft is written and produced by Robert L. Redd. The music is composed and conducted by Gordon Jenkins. This is Ken Carpenter charging you to always remember Eyes Aloft.
Eyes Aloft, watch the sky. Watch the plane flying on the east up above. Eyes Aloft. Lending a hand, protecting the land we love. Wanted by land and killed by sea was once a sentinel's cry. But a modern 20th century Paul Revere must watch the sky. Eyes aloft.
This program comes to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.